You are now listening to the Fantasy Filler Podcast, where we put you in the driver's seat every week, all year long. In the NASCAR racing world, from top news stories, latest results, and best fantasy lineups, we'll have you up to speed and out in front before the drop of the green flag. So let's dive in with our host, Vanilla Wafers.
It feels like the 2023 season is zooming by because we are now one-third completed with the 2023 season. And let me tell you something, we just got done with an exciting weekend here at Kansas Speedway. More than likely, it's going to be the best race of the year up to this point, and it's going to be hard to knock it off the top of the board because, my goodness, it was a great race. We'll be talking about the biggest takeaways as well as the final results from each of the races, more specifically on the Cup Series. That and more on today's episode of the Fantasy Filler Podcast. I hope you guys were able to watch this Kansas race because, let me tell you, this was probably one of the best races I have seen in quite a while. Probably the equivalent, if not better, than the Coca-Cola 600 last year. And I say that with confidence. It was crazy for that Cup Series race. The Advent 400 had everything that a fan was looking for. I think the only reason why you're a little bummed out from that race is if your favorite guy wrecked out because there was a couple of top stars that unfortunately were not there for the finish. But we had ourselves the most passes in NASCAR history at a mile and a half track. We had multiple lead changes. Drivers would be at the back at one point, able to crawl their way up to the top. There's just a lot to cover in that race, so we will dive into that real quickly. Let's touch real fast on the Craftsman Truck Series race, the eighth race of the season. I'm kind of running through the Truck Series and Xfinity Series a little bit quicker than what we have been because I know a lot of people just want to mostly focus on the Cup Series races, which is totally understandable. I mean, that's what we do our fantasy picks on, but I think it's worth sharing some information on these Truck Series races as well as giving some light to some drivers moving their way on up into the lower series. The Heart of America's 200 was a really fun race as well. Not the same level as the Advent 400, but it still put on some great racing. There was multiple drivers who had opportunities to win this race. In the end, it was Grant Enfinger with GMS Racing getting a huge victory for that team. I do believe his last victory was at Indianapolis Raceway Park last year. Kind of been struggling this year, but hey, a win will always change everything because now he locks himself into the playoffs, which is big for GMS Racing. You know, they've kind of fallen off a little bit since Sheldon Creed moved on up into the Xfinity Series. And Grant Enfinger is a talented truck driver. The fact that he was sharing his ride a couple years back with the number 98 team was kind of a heartbreaker because you knew the talent that he had in the truck series. And for him to jump on over to GMS Racing, I think was a great call. Yeah, they've been struggling a bit, but hey, you get this victory here. Now you can slowly but surely add on to it with playoff points so you can move your way through into potentially the championship four. And he had himself a great race. It wasn't like he just walked into the first position. No, he led 65 laps in this race more than anybody else. And he was able to get around Zane Smith as well as Corey Heim on the final restart as they were duking it out. He just moved in on the inside, passed by them, and there was no stopping that 23 truck. So great job for him. Also got to give a shout out to some other drivers here who were competing for the victory. Corey Heim and Zane Smith both having themselves really good runs. Corey Heim kind of needed a little bit of a luckier break than what he has had the last few weeks. He's been getting caught up in some messes. So for him to be running up front, which we're used to seeing him at these mile and a half tracks, was great to see. Zane Smith, always a very consistent driver running up front. And here's the rest of the top 10. Stuart Friesen, the 52, finished 4th. Ross Chastain, the number 41, finished 5th. Nick Sanchez, the top finishing rookie, in 6th. Kyle Busch, in the number 51, finishes 7th. Jake Garcia, with a great run, finishes 8th, as well as Taylor Gray, in the number 17, finishes 9th. And round at the top 10 was Tyler Ingram in the number 16 machine. Here are some of the drivers that unfortunately had themselves a bad finish. This includes Raja Carruth, as well as Chase Purdy, Dean Thompson, Carson Hosefar, and Christian Eckes. The reason why I put all these guys together, because they were all able to get stage points at one point in this race, but they got caught up in a restart incident where Christian Eckes just turned the number 5 machine on the restart and it collected all these drivers and it ended their night early, which was a shame too, because you had people like Matt DiBenedetto. He was another one who was caught up, who was up there in the top five trying to make something out of a day that was already kind of struggling a little bit for that team. Unfortunately, they get caught up in this wreck. They finished 29th, and Christian Eckes, with a strong start to the season, now running into some problems. Thank goodness they got a victory under their belt so they can fall back on that. Same with Carson Hocifar. But it's a shame, when you have such a good truck in a race and it just one bad restart just ruins it all for you. So that's what happened to these guys. And Ty Majeski was another person who struggled in this race. After having a stage win and leading 12 laps, unfortunately, he finishes 25th in this race. And a couple other drivers to give some shout-outs to. Shout-out to Brandon Poole in the 46 truck, able to get his G2G racing truck into the top 20. Johnny Sauter in the 04 machine was able to finish 9th. And then you had Tony Breidinger was able to finish in the 15th position in her Truck Series debut, only just a couple positions behind Haley Deegan in the 13 truck. Overall, this race was a lot of fun. I really did enjoy it. I was only able to watch the final about 30% of the race, but the 30% I got to watch was extremely entertaining. Bit of a bummer for the Kyle Busch fans. They expected him to be competing for the victory, and he just had an ill-handling truck. So if there was anyone who was the biggest loser there at the end, maybe give it to Kyle Busch. If not, you're going to be giving it to the people who were involved in the restart incident. And the biggest winners, obviously Grant Enfinger and Corey Heim for their first and second place finishes. Tony Breidinger for her top 15 finish in her debut. And for some of these teams that were running, who were struggling to make it into races, now they get themselves top 20 finishes. Of course, this includes Lawless Allen, Johnny Sauter, and Brandon Poole. But now it is time to look at the big race that happened this Sunday for the 12th race of the 2023 season. It is now time to dive into the final results for the Advent Health 400. So in the 12th race of the season, we only had 36 cars compete in the main event, meaning no open charter cars were on the entry list. We had a total of 11 cautions for 57 laps, but 37 lead changes amongst 12 different drivers for the lead. 37 lead changes. This is why I love the next-gen car here at most intermediate tracks, because it puts on one hell of a show. And one hell of a show it did produce, because my goodness, you could look at any part of this race, whether it was the beginning, middle, or end. It was just an exciting race. From lap number 2, we had excitement. And from the very last lap, just craziness, especially up front with the leaders, because in the end, getting his first win of the season and the 49th of his career, we have the number 11 of Denny Hamlin with a last lap pass over Kyle Larson to get the victory here at Kansas Speedway. What a heartbreaker for Kyle Larson. Again, he had the top running car, and unfortunately, he was not able to seal the deal. This time, Denny Hamlin was just a faster car near the end of the race, and he got loose going out of the exit of turn 2. Denny Hamlin obviously was not going to lift, bumps into the back bumper of the number 5, Kyle Larson. He hits the outside wall. He's still able to keep the car straight, and he is able to still finish second. But you just got to feel bad for Kyle Larson, just being this close in so many races and getting all these second place finishes or just having something happen to him. It almost reminds me of Jeff Gordon back in 2009. That's just the one that immediately pops up into my mind, because he only got one victory that season, but 9 second place finishes. 9 second place finishes. It was brutal being a Gordon fan. And right now, I think it's kind of brutal being a Kyle Larson fan. Still, he was able to recover after a bad race last weekend where he was involved in an incident. And I thought at that point, he was going to get the win. And he almost did it. He was just one lap short of doing so. So really good run for these two drivers, as they were top picks for us here this weekend. And they paid off big time. Finishing in the third spot, we had one of our mid-tier picks, the number 24 of William Byron. Now, Byron started out on the pole. So I decided to make a change in one of those special leagues where you can only pick one driver in each race and you cannot pick him again. I figured, hey, now it's time to use William Byron, since he's still doing really good here in the spring. And hey, he got the pole here at Kansas, so I bet he's going to get a lot of stage points. Lap number 2, he started to let me down. Lap number 2, he brushes the outside wall, loses a few positions, has a very loose car. They decided to go down pit road first, and then they're caught speeding. If that wasn't bad enough, they hit the wall once again, and at one point they were 3 laps down. I know that on the coverage they said he was only 2 laps down. No, at one point he was 3 laps down. It was brutal. Somehow this man was able to get back on the lead lap thanks to some cautions and some strategies. And if they would have got a caution on lap number 15, he would have won this race. It would have been one of the craziest comebacks in a race in almost 20 years. The only one I can really think of that happened recently was Kyle Busch, who went 7 laps down at Auto Club and he was still able to finish like in the 15th position, or Jeff Gordon at Martinsville when he went 3 laps down at one point and he came back to win the race. And I think that was back in 2003. It was a great comeback for them. He was definitely a mid-tier pick because he did not give out as many points as we've seen him throughout the season. But still, if you had him on your fantasy roster as your third or fourth pick, 34 points, not that bad. And to lead 10 laps in this race after being down so many laps is a big win for that team altogether. Fourth spot, another top pick here. We had Bubba Wallace in the number 23. He had himself a really good, consistent run. It didn't look like he was going to be able to win this race, even though he was able to lead like 9 laps at 4 different times throughout the race. It just felt like there was always one Toyota that was slightly ahead of him. Still a great run and definitely in the right direction for this team. I remember at COTA, he said he'd need to be replaced. No, he was being way too hard on himself because here in this race, he was competitive as all his other Toyota teammates. So good run for him and way to get a top 5. In the 5th spot, we have another mid-tier pick, this one being the number 1 of Ross Chastain, who, by the way, we're going to talk about here once again because he found himself in more controversy. He's going to be the most controversial driver here this year, similar to last year, except maybe even more. And here in the post-race, it was probably one of the most craziest post-race incidents that happened in the 2023 season. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But a pretty consistent race, and again, showing that if you had him as a third or fourth pick, you were extremely happy with that. And here's the rest of the top 10. The number 22 of Joey Logano finishes 6th, followed by the number 9 of Chase Elliott in 7th. The number 19 of Martin Truex Jr. finishes 8th. Then the 9th spot was the number 45 Tyler Reddick. And rounding out the top 10, the number 3 of Austin Dillon. If there was anyone who surprised me the most up here, it was Joey Logano. He was a mid-tier driver at best throughout this entire race. And somehow this man wins a stage thanks to a pit strategy, and he finishes in the 6th position. I just don't trust Joey Logano. I don't know what he is. He's a wild card at this point. And for him to get the 6th place finish, that's huge for that team, especially how much they've been struggling. But they were not a 6th place car. But by God, were they able to do it. And hey, they even got themselves a playoff point. So that's a huge advantage for them. And then Austin Dillon in the number 3. He was another driver who went on that pit strategy and worked out in his favor. Able to get some stage points and finish in the top 10. That's great for them. They've been struggling here this year. I think they were around 30th in points for the Owners Championship. So they need some steps in the right direction. And a top 10 will definitely do that for you. So inside the top 10, we only had 3 of our top picks. Here was the other 2 top picks that we had. Kyle Busch in the number 8 and Ryan Blaney in the number 12. Kyle Busch, he had himself a really good car. I don't think anyone's arguing on the fact that he should have been a top pick or not. I think Stalton had a good idea with him because he had himself a fast car. It's unfortunate that I got caught up in an incident thanks to a lot of people staying out on pit strategies, and he got the worst end of the stick. People slowed up and he tried to slow up and he gets bumped from behind and his car is wrecked and he's done for the day. It's heartbreaker. That's just sometimes that happens. And if it's going to happen to anyone, unfortunately, it's going to be Kyle Busch. And Dalton, thank you so much for joining on, but very unfortunate that your number 1 pick finishes 2nd to last in this race. Not much you can do there. Ryan Blaney finishing 16th. It looked like the pit strategies did not work for him near the end. He was kind of around inside the top 10, and I figured he was going to be the best running Ford, and for the most part, he was. Ford was really nowhere to be seen in this race, and he scored only 24 points, so maybe not the best option to go with as far as top picks go. The strongest finishing Ford as far as fantasy points went, I believe, was Kevin Harvick in the 11th. Oh, no, sorry, it was Joey Logano because of his pit strategy. But yeah, Ford didn't really show up here in this race, and if you somehow were able to pick Joey Logano, hey, good for you. I would have not saw that one coming. Let's look at our mid-tier picks here real quick. Christopher Bell was definitely the biggest bummer here. And he had himself another, he was another driver that was doing really good in this race, as he was able to get some stage points there at the beginning. Toyota was looking really strong in the first half, and then he gets spun out. And very unfortunate for him. It wasn't really Ross Chastain's fault, even though the broadcasters tried to make it look like it was Ross Chastain's fault. But Christopher Bell ran out of room on the exit of turn two, and he goes into the inside wall, ruins his day. He finishes 36 overall. So big bummer for everybody, but luckily, it was before the end of stage two, so hopefully you were able to switch him out. I know I was able to because I had him on my fantasy league. The number six of Brad Keselowski didn't really have himself that great of a race. We expected way more out of him, and we got more out of Chris Buescher with 25 fantasy points, but definitely just not what we were looking for out of those two cars. I think Brad Keselowski was just on a completely different pit strategy, and the cautions worked. Like, if there was a caution near the end, it would have worked in favor of drivers like him, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr., and William Byron. But unfortunately, since that didn't work, they had to settle with a 19th place finish. So not a great mid-tier pick there. We talked about Ross Chastain and William Byron able to finish inside the top five. And then in the final mid-tier spot, we had Tyler Reddick and Martin Truex Jr., who both did really good. They were able to score 35 and 38 points. So hopefully you were able to have both of them. Definitely the best one was Martin Truex Jr., who once again has another great top 10 run. Like, my goodness, it's great. He almost led the most laps here in this race, but he is so consistent when it comes here at Kansas. At this point, we could just trust Martin Truex Jr. here at Kansas Speedway, and because he doesn't finish outside the top 10. And this race, he looked really good. I would not be surprised if he is a contender for the victory in the fall race when that's during the playoff time. So good run for Martin Truex Jr., decent run for Tyler Reddick as he was able to finish in the ninth position. I just need to brag about this because I was the only one on the Saturday episode that went for Bubba Wallace over Tyler Reddick. And somehow Bubba Wallace was able to edge him out as Bubba Wallace finished fourth. So there's my bragging points there. And hopefully you guys listened to me than the other guys, because of course you did, because this is the Fantasy Filler Podcast. All right, I'll stop rubbing it in. Then our drivers to take a gamble on. They didn't really pay out that well, did they? Yeah, they were kind of a bummer all around. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Eric Almirola, they were able to finish inside the top 15 with Stenhouse in the 12th position, Almirola in 13th position. That was kind of where they were going to finish. They were running around there the entire time. Josh Berry looked to be the best option to take a gamble on. Unfortunately, he gets caught up in an incident, so that takes him out of really contention of getting a solid finish, as he was involved in that incident on lap number 149, which involved him, Eric Jones, Ty Gibbs, Chris Buescher. So that was a bit of a bummer for him, as he definitely got the worst end of the stick. Went one lap down and finishes 25th overall. Austin Cindric, he's not trustworthy anymore. I think the whole Penske camp is struggling. And if you're going to trust anybody, it's either going to be Ryan Blaney or Joey Logano right now, because Austin Cindric's definitely the third best driver on that team. And when you have a struggling team, you don't really want to rely on the third best or fourth best in any option. So I think from here on out, Austin Cindric should be staying in the garage area. And lastly, we talked about Chris Buescher. He was able to finish inside the top 20, even though he got involved in that incident, but we expected more out of the number 17 machine. Now let's talk about some of the biggest stories here in this race. Biggest one being definitely the situation that happened with Ross Chastain and Noah Gragson. So, in the middle of the race, Noah Gragson was having himself a really good run. Believe it or not, he was able to finish third in stage two. He was on the same strategy as Joey Logano, and it was really going to pay off. And then contact was made between him and Ross Chastain, which inevitably caused a problem for that number 42 machine, as he spun out on the backstretch on lap number 207, goes multiple laps down, and that's the end of his day. Big heartbreaker. Well, we know Noah Gragson. He is one of those guys who won't take crap, and he felt like Ross Chastain raced him really dirty. So he goes and has a conversation with him on pit road. And thank goodness for all the extra camera work there on pit road for the post-race incident, because I'm telling you, all those cameras are on pit road and not on the race, because we missed Christopher Bell's incident, which was absolutely a huge shocker. I mean, why would you miss an incident there on the back straightaway? Just have a camera still on the back straightaway so we can see all the action. Anyways, going off topic. Noah Gragson comes up to Ross Chastain. He wants an answer, Ross Chastain kind of giving the basic answers that you always hear drivers make excuses for. Oh, you know, it was a restart. We're near the end of the race. That's just hard racing. It is what it is. Well, Noah Gregson doesn't want to hear that at all. So finally, he grabs him. And at this point, Ross Chastain looks at him and says, "Stop it. You better stop it." He says it twice. And that's when he throws a solid right hook into the face of Noah Gregson, and it connects. Now, Noah Gregson, he was getting ready to swing right back, but security was already there, pulls them apart, and everyone loses it. I know I lose it. It was crazy just to see that happen because I didn't expect these two to fight. Now, who's in the right and who's in the wrong? Well, Noah Gregson is someone who doesn't let anyone push him around. We've seen that in the Xfinity series. He's made it clear that no one pushes him around. And nobody's really been coming up to Ross Chastain and really just giving him a hard talking to or just letting him know what's up. They keep making threats, but nothing happens. Noah Gregson is the first person to do that. How crazy is it for a rookie to go do that? When he started grabbing him, then at that point, Ross Chastain has a right to throw a punch. Even if he's in the wrong, he warns him, "Hey, let go of me, let go of me." He wasn't talking smack. So definitely Noah Gregson was the person instigating the incident, and Ross Chastain is the one who throws the punch. Now, both are in the wrong. They're both in the wrong. There's no other way to look at it. But I think this is the greatest thing that could happen for both drivers, as weird as that sounds. Ross Chastain is someone who will not only be aggressive out on the racetrack, but if you mess with him, he will fight back. He will fight back, whether it's on the track or outside the track. And he made it clear. He's like, our boss told us there's no grabbing around here. We can throw a punch back at that point, which he did. And this is good for Noah Gregson because you can tell he still has a lot of heart in the sport and he's not going to let people push him around. He may be a rookie, but he's a rookie that will stand up for himself. It is also bad for both drivers because these are definitely the drivers who are on most people's poop list, trying to keep it as PG as possible. And they start fighting each other on pit road and it looks and they're like, "Oh, look, those two aggressors, now they're fighting each other. They're going to fight everybody, yada, yada, yada." And the same thing would be said if Ty Gibbs went up to Ross Chastain. Everybody would be pointing at him like, "See, he hasn't changed." Same thing happened to Noah Gregson. So hopefully this doesn't affect them that negatively. I'm pretty sure they're going to have a talking to from NASCAR in the middle of the week. I don't think really fines or penalties are going to happen. I think they're going to be like, "Hey, you guys touch each other or argue with each other again, there will be consequences." I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. Something similar to what happened to Denny Hamlin and Ross Chastain last year. But overall, this is exactly what the sport needs. It needs people who show emotion, people with character. And these two are the best up-and-coming stars as far as personality goes. And I love it as a fan, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot of fans out there who love it as well. So that was definitely the biggest thing, but overall, this race was just awesome, man. It was just great from beginning to end. You had pit strategies, you had passing, you had battles for the lead, you had battles midway in the pack, you had people going laps down, coming back. I mean, like I said, William Byron was multiple laps down, still able to come back. Nobody was safe from incidents. You had Kyle Larson who spun out on lap 4 as the leader, making contact with the number 45 of Tyler Reddick. And it was almost deja vu to the Las Vegas incident. The number 45 McDonald's machine making contact with Larson on the tri-oval. Luckily, this was a better scenario because Kyle Larson was still able to compete. Restarts were amazing, and his stages were amazing. And the final lap was just a crazy battle between Kyle Larson and Denny Hamlin. The only thing that was a bummer was that it ended with one of them going into the wall instead of it being a close finish at the very end, a photo finish, which I feel like we haven't seen in a very, very long time. It was just everything you wanted from a race, and I really enjoyed it as a fan. Even though I'm not a Denny Hamlin fan, I'm still really happy with the results overall. It was just exciting and everything that the next gen car needs to be here at these intermediate tracks. I give this race a 10 out of 10. There's no other rating to give it. It was competitive. It was intense. It was memorable. It was just everything that we could ask for a NASCAR race. The only downer I give it is simply the fact that camera work was really brutal there in the middle of the race because they weren't able to catch all the action, which back in the mid-2000s they would have been able to because they had extra cameras out there, and now they don't, which is kind of weird. I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed, but They have a lot less cameras than what they had a few years back. Now, I know they're trying to save on some spots, but when you miss that many incidents, and especially one where you had a front-running driver wreck, and they were inside the top 10, it's like, come on, guys. Come on. We can't miss stuff like that. So, overall, very, very fun race. Big congrats to Denny Hamlin. He locks himself in. That now puts us to 9 different winners for the 2023 season. And there's still a lot of drivers that could get a victory. I still feel like you can get Ross Chastain in victory lane, Chase Elliott in victory lane, if Alex Bowman's able to return back and have any type of performance similar to what he had at the beginning of the season, he'll be able to get a victory. Brad Keselowski or Chris Buescher, they are so close. You might be able to see maybe Daniel Suarez. You also have Chase Briscoe getting some good results here and there. I don't think he's going to be able to get that victory, I'll be honest with you. But there's a lot of good drivers still in this mix that can still get wins. So we could be close to 16 different winners. Once again, still very early to call it that, but 9 winners coming out of the first third of the season. Hey, that's pretty cool to see. So really good to be a NASCAR fan, especially after this race. You're happy. Go watch the replays. You're not going to be disappointed. It was just a great race. And that will conclude the final results for today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. As far as our fantasy league went, it was a lot of good showing from some fantasy teams here on fantasygames.nascar.com, as we were able to have 13 different people score 200 plus points. And here was the top 3 from this weekend. Chief Joe Coog once again with another great performance. He finished 3rd overall with 218 points. Then we have WV Chase Fan number 9 with 220 points in 2nd. And the winner this weekend with 229 points was Rob Sports Show 5, which I do believe is the first time that he has been able to finish here inside the top 3. What a way to do it, because you were able to finish first. The best performing team here was the perfect fantasy group that you could have had here this weekend. In the first spot, it was obvious. It was Denny Hamlin in the number 11. And then the one who scored the second most points, Joey Logano. Joey Logano with 41. It's crazy that he was able to get the second most. That just shows you how many people got stage wins. There was only 2 people who were able to get stage points in both the stages. And that was Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson finished 10th and 9th. It's crazy. And third spot, speaking of him, he was able to get 38 points, as well as Martin Truex Jr., so that's your 3rd and 4th. 5th was Bubba Wallace with 37th, and then barely missing the cut with 35 and 34 fantasy points. We have Tyler Reddick in the 45, William Byron with 34, and Ross Chastain also with 34. If you want to follow me on social media, you can do so on YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok. Just look up Vanilla Wafers. I will pop up. Next video on YouTube is going to be recent injuries in NASCAR part 2, where we will talk about 5 stories. And it's kind of great to look back at these stories, because it brings back memories. I wouldn't say good memories, but it kind of reminds you how far we've really come in just the last few years. Like, there are some incidents that I watch from 2013. It's like, wow, we didn't have safer barriers there. Wow, they would do this, they would do that. It's crazy just how much has changed. And so that's why I like doing these videos, just to show the advancement in safety, even though it kind of looked like it went downhill a little bit in 2022. There's still been some major improvements from years back. And then on TikTok, I just post little short videos, all NASCAR related, whether it's NASCAR trivia or some series that are due that are more humorous. But again, it's all NASCAR related, so it's all a lot of good fun. Or if you want to talk to me on Twitter during race day, you can reach me out on there. I have a few people now consistently messaging me, which is a really cool feeling. And we're starting to get a few followers. It's kind of cool. We're almost to 300 followers on Twitter, something that I never really thought would happen, because I just do just random shenanigans on there. So the fact that we're getting traction on there is actually pretty cool, and I'm very grateful for that. So again, thank you guys so much for the continual support that you've been showing me on all these platforms. But that will wrap up today's episode, so let's end it right there. I have been your host, Vanilla Wafers, and I've been able to take you to the front of the field. So why don't we grab that checkered flag, do some burnouts, and head on out. So you all take care. This has been the Fantasy Filler Podcast.